Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Bueno, bueno.
Comandante. Gol, 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 gol. El regate delante del portero es de Ronaldo Nazario. Pasa la pelota por encima del balón y en la finta tira el portero al suelo. Los tres primeros de la liga los hace en el mismo partido. Hat-trick de Morales. ¡Qué golazo! También el tercero.
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of La Liga Lowdown. I'm Matt Clark, delighted to be joined once again by Román de Arquer. He's still wearing his robe, he's still got a cold, but he's braving that to give you plenty of audio content after another thrilling weekend in La Liga. Román, how you doing?
Hey Matt, a bit better since we last talked a few days ago, but yeah, cold hasn't completely gone. Robe hasn't gone either, so I'm still wearing that. And regarding La Liga, as you said, some very exciting games. Although unfortunately for my team, Barca, it wasn't a great result, but we'll get into that shortly.
We certainly will, but we have to begin at Estadio de la Cerámica because Villarreal welcomed back Marcelino. We spoke on the last pod that his actual return was in the Copa, and they made hard work of that because they needed extra time to complete the remontada with José Luis Morales scoring both. We're thinking, oh, that's a nice bright spot for Marcelino. Well, today against Osasuna, he went and scored a hat-trick to give them a 3-1 win over Los Rojillos, his first ever La Liga hat-trick. They're now 7 points clear of the drop zone. Everything went right, didn't it?
Yeah, everything went right, and it wasn't an easy rival they had in front of them in Osasuna, who are always pretty tough to beat, we could say. And honestly, the Marcelino effect has had an immediate impact. They did struggle a bit in the Copa del Rey, even though they pulled through also, as you said, thanks to Morales. But I mean, who would have said he was going to go score a hat trick? You know, his first one also, as you mentioned, in this competition. And I mean, it just feels like with such little time, it definitely isn't so much, I think, a matter of tactics, but probably more a mental thing, motivational thing. You know, I think Marcelino brings in this energy to the locker room that other managers maybe aren't capable of transmitting, and immediately, you know, he's got his players fired up and getting a great result, and they really needed these 3 points also in front of the home crowd. You know, everybody of course super happy with him back, with the result, with how the team performed, and definitely we'll have to see if this is just, you know, a flash momentum of a spur of good results, or if he can keep this up in the long term. Hopefully he will, and we'll see.
Indeed, it was only his second, or Villarreal's second home win of the season in the league, so it was much needed in front of their fans, as you say. Now, they have got a pretty punishing schedule coming up, because as we move into December, it is pretty much every midweek until Christmas. They have Panathinaikos, then they go to Sevilla, which could be a pretty good time to go there. Then they host Maccabi Haifa in the Europa League before hosting Real Sociedad. Then they travel to Rennes before going to the Bernabeu, and then they close off Christmas with a home game against Celta de Vigo. So lots of games coming up thick and fast. It'll definitely test Marcelino's ability to rotate his players, and he should get a pretty good idea of who he's going to rely on after that run.
Yeah, and definitely we can see that Morales at the moment is up there, and he was actually having quite a discreet season, I'd say. I think many games he wasn't even being considered an important player, we could say, on the bench, having just a few minutes towards the end. And it felt like maybe this was Morales' decline, you know, and he was maybe not going to return to the version we saw in Levante. But out of nowhere, two games, a ton of goals, and hopefully he can keep showing that wonderful football he's capable of.
Absolutely. And if you haven't seen the goals, listeners, check them out, particularly the third. It's exquisite the way he runs onto the through ball, completely sells the keeper before finishing expertly. So a lovely hat trick from him, and a great picture too, where he had not one, not two, but three match balls. So I'm not quite sure how that came about, but he was certainly enjoying that. Barca, though, didn't quite enjoy their game this weekend. They were at Vallecas, and lightning almost struck again because Rayo took the lead with a Unai López golazo. It was his first goal since a 95th minute winner against Elche last season, which ironically sealed the fate of Francisco back in October last year. And now, of course, Francisco was celebrating that goal rather than lamenting it. And it took Barca quite a long time to come back into this. They've conceded the first goal 6 times in the last 12 matches, Roman, which is becoming a worrying trend. We know they've been able to come back in a few matches, but they couldn't quite complete the job. They did salvage a point through a late Florian Lejeune own goal, but I don't know, what did you make of this game?
Well, it's kind of that movie, you know, where the same day keeps repeating itself. I forgot the name now in English.
Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day, exactly. It kind of felt like what you said was going to happen again, that Rayo were going to score at some point, and then we're going to have to try and come back, and then we're probably going to get close, but maybe not fully complete the comeback. And it was kind of like that, and it's a feeling you often get in many of these games with Barcelona. I didn't completely dislike the performance. I think it was slightly better than other games we've seen recently. I think having Frenkie de Jong back in that midfield definitely provides a lot, and we have a bit more control, but still, you could tell Frenkie wasn't at 100%. He lost some dangerous balls, one of them which almost ended up in a Rayo goal, and it does feel like the team still needs a long way to go to be at the level they should. And, you know, with a bit of pressure from up the opposition, they tend to suffer too much, when we know that Barca has always been a team that has boasted that capacity to play the ball from the back, get past that pressure no matter how hard and intense it is, and, you know, and keep control and go forward. But Barca now doesn't have that ability. They tend to lose the ball much easier than usual. And then even if they do have the control, the problem also comes in attack, where maybe they don't generate as many opportunities or as many dangerous opportunities as they should. And obviously the finishing has also been a problem in quite a few games. We did have an opportunity. We got the goal, thankfully, through that own goal. And then Rafinha did hit the post. There was also a possible penalty. There were some chances there. But in the end, I think it's a deserved result. Even though I have to say that Unai López goal was amazing, but I have to say I think he was quite lucky there, because he just struck it out of nowhere, and the ball just kind of keeps curving away from the goalkeeper and goes in right next to the post. And it was a wonder goal to see, honestly.
Yeah, no Ter Stegen, but nothing much that Iñaki Peña could have done about that. Xavi, again, with his comments post-match, a few Barca fans kind of raising some doubts there again. He talked about mentality, but not so much about the approach and tactics. Do you think those comments are making things worse?
Well, I think we've said this before, and Xavi isn't the best in press conferences. He tends to say things that backfire, you know, and he doesn't choose wisely, I think, or maybe he just doesn't care what others say. I don't know, maybe that's the reason, but I do think that he's the one who knows best what's going on. Maybe there is a part of mentality in there involved, but it does seem like many times he's putting a lot of excuses on the table, you know, instead of actually saying, we're not playing good enough, we need to move the ball quicker, we need to generate, we need to be more superior in the midfield, etc., etc. You know, I think those would be more reasonable answers than just always recurring to either mentality, to either the grass, to, you know, all sorts of different excuses he tends to come up with. So honestly, I do think he isn't doing himself a favour usually with those comments.
Yeah, no excuses with the grass and the sun this time around, but that is 4 games for Xavi against Rayo where he hasn't been able to beat them, which is now his worst opponent in terms of matches without being able to get a win. Of course, against Bayern, he's also got those 3 defeats, but Rayo 4 games, 2 defeats, 2 draws. Next up for Barca, It's a triple header at home, massive week, because they have Porto in the Champions League, which they can't really afford to slip up in, then Atleti next weekend, and then Girona, all coming to Montjuic. A massive, massive three games in the context of the season, Roman, because after the results this weekend, they're now 4 points off Real Madrid, who are current leaders, but then, of course, Girona can overtake Madrid as well, so they could be even further behind the lead by the end of Monday. How big a week or couple of fixtures is this for Barca's season?
Well, it's definitely big. I'd say especially the Porto game, of course, because, I mean, losing there would or could potentially complicate things very much, and I think we just can't afford to get knocked out again before in the group stage. So, I mean, definitely they somehow have to get a good result no matter what it takes. So I'm hoping they're mentally prepared for that, even though Xavi has mentioned that aspect is something they're struggling on. And on the other hand, in La Liga, there are two big games too, because of course we know Girona and Atletico de Madrid are up there. They're direct rivals for the competition at the moment to win the title in La Liga. And of course, if we were to lose those games, it would also complicate things a lot for us in La Liga. Three home games, I guess that's the slight advantage for us, where we have to make the most of that. Although in my case, I'll only be able to go to Porto because unfortunately I'm traveling and I'm going to miss Girona and Atleti. How unlucky am I?
Very unlucky, although depending on the results, you might be picking a couple of games to miss that might not go your way. But
we're going to lose. Okay, thanks.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that, but you never know. Porto is, as you say, that's the next game. That's the most important. And then, you know, partido a partido. Speaking of that, Atleti got a classic 1-0 win over Mallorca on Saturday night. And you'll never guess who scored the winner. Antoine Griezmann with a sublime header. It means their winning run at home extends to 18 in all competitions, which is truly remarkable. And yeah, it wasn't the most convincing result, but Atleti just get the job done and move ahead of Barca on goal difference and still have the game in hand.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this was one of those tough games that come after the international break where you kind of feel like the team is not at its best and somehow they need to pull through, and they did, you know. And of course, as you said, it had to be one of the best players in La Liga, if not the best, as we always tend to say. Griezmann is just always outperforming himself and you know, appearing for the team. And once again, he was crucial because it felt like Atletico weren't having their day. Like Mallorca might just snatch something, and you know, right towards the end, a beautiful header, because it wasn't actually an easy goal to get, especially from a guy who doesn't tend to score too many goals with his head, and he got it past the goalkeeper, and three massive points, I'd say, for Atletico in their title fight.
Yeah, we've seen the who scored on Twitter, the weaknesses, he doesn't have any, and it's hard to argue when you watch him play, because he just, everything he does is so polished, and so he's just on top of his game in every way. And yeah, the longer he stays in this kind of form, the better Atleti's chances of silverware are this season, I think. And yeah, would you say he's the best player in the league right now?
I would easily say he's the best player in the league right now, honestly. I mean, in terms of form, how important he is in leading his team. Of course, there is Jude Bellingham, but maybe I think he's not as crucial as he was in first months of the season, where he was always obviously leading the team. He's still important for Real Madrid, but I just think that Griezmann is just a fundamental piece. Madrid, I think, can win games or do well without Bellingham, but I think Atleti would struggle much more if they didn't have Griezmann on the pitch.
Griezmann dependencia. Well, speaking of Real Madrid, they went to Cadiz, and of course we know their absentees. It was quite as Rory tweeted, it was a pretty weak, threadbare, I think he said, Real Madrid lineup, but still good enough to start the likes of Luka Modric and Bellingham. And it was Rodrigo that ended up being the difference. And he wasn't even supposed to start, because Brahim Diaz was named in the lineup, but he had some stomach issues before the game. So Rodrigo, it was a slight doubt, but he did start and then scored a brace, making it back-to-back braces for him, and then provided the assist for Jude Bellingham, who got his goal. And that also means that Rodrigo was involved in three goals in a game for the second time in a row. And that's, he's just when people were starting to criticise him and question whether he warranted a place in the lineup, he's proving that he is important for this team. And Cadiz weren't terrible, were they?
Yeah, precisely. I think Rodrigo wasn't looking great. I think he was overshadowed, especially by Bellingham, because it's true that Benitez wasn't doing great either himself, so it was a great opportunity for Rodrigo to actually shine, but he wasn't making it work. And now, out of nowhere, you know, he's returning to his best version of himself and getting important goals for the team against Cádiz, who, you know, it always seems like they're fighting every game, but in the end, they're lacking something, you know, to actually compete against the stronger sides. And that's why, at the end of the day, they're in a complicated position in the standings, and they tend to suffer quite a lot. It's a bit unfortunate, we could say, but in the end, that's football. You know, when you have the offensive power that teams like Real Madrid have, they just need a few good chances to make it work. And you know, they have the quality up front that, of course, Cádiz unfortunately doesn't.
Yeah, indeed. That's now, I think, 10 winless games for Cádiz in all competitions, which is their worst run since when they were down in Segunda, on their way down to Segunda B. So a really concerning run of form for them. But again, the performance wasn't awful. The result kind of flatters Madrid a little bit. But probably more worrying for Cádiz is that Colonel Ledesma went off injured before the end of this game. They'll be hoping he's not too badly hurt ahead of the next games. But yeah, they stay in the bottom, not in the bottom three, but certainly down in the lower reaches of the table. Madrid, temporarily at least, on top of the standings before Girona's game against Athletic. We'll leave it there for part one. When we come back, we'll round up all the rest of the games and pay tribute to Terry Venables, who sadly passed away this weekend. See you soon.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tres cuartos de campo, se viene por dentro, amaga, recorta, se va por fuera, va a chutar. ¡Qué golazo!
Bueno,
¡gol! ¡Lo que ha hecho!
Adiós, uno de los goles de la liga.
¡Gol! ¡Del látigo de dónde, Marco Antonio!
El látigo de Kaduna.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. I'm here with Román Darque. Let's go to San Sebastian for another Real Sociedad victory, this time over Sevilla. They went ahead very early. They're proving quite apt at doing this. Quite a few times they've gone ahead in the first 5, 10, 15 minutes of games, and this game was the same. Free kick from Barrenechea, which came off Dimitrovic to open the scoring. And then probably the goal of the weekend, Unai Lopez, was upstaged by Umar Sadiq. This was an incredible golazo, Roman. I'll let you describe it for the listeners who haven't seen it, but it was a great moment for him to score his first goal in the league since that horrible injury last season. And yeah, what a way to celebrate that return and that goal.
Yeah, it was a stunning goal. I mean, the whole stadium just, you know, stood up surprised with what had just happened, because he took a shot from extremely far away, and also like the position of his body and how he turned and how he kicked the ball. It kind of felt like he was taking a big leap there, you know, like, are you sure you want to shoot from there? But then the ball went like a missile towards top corner and the goalkeeper had no chance. And I mean, it was a fantastic goal. I've always praised Umar Sadiq here in our pod. I think he's a fantastic striker. He played really well at Almeria. It felt like Real Sociedad was a big move for him that could actually reinforce his career and his future. But unfortunately, he had that big injury, which killed all his hopes, we could say, of succeeding. And of course, now he's coming back, and it isn't tough with these sorts of injuries, you know, getting back, as we always tend to talk about. And luckily, he seems to be in good form. He seems to be capable of scoring those goals. And if he keeps this up, he's going to be a very important player, because I think Real Sociedad could really benefit from him, especially keeping in mind how well they're doing in Europe, you know, having a guy like him in attack, being able to rotate a bit more when also they play Copa del Rey games, etc., will allow them to have the deeper squad they need, because we keep praising Real Sociedad. They're playing beautiful football, they play really well, and you know, they need their players to stay fit to keep this up, and another massive result for them.
Sevilla did fight back in the second half through Youssef En-Nesyri header, but they couldn't make it all the way back. That's still no league win for Diego Alonso. They were furious post-game. They've had all sorts of... The president was speaking out. Lucas Ocampos to post-match television was very angry because Sergio Ramos was booked, but then that was upgraded to a red on VAR. And then Jesus Navas was so apoplectic with that. He was sent off for dissent and protesting. Ramos's 21st red in La Liga, which is, of course, a record. But for Jesus Navas, it was just his first. So really dramatic scenes towards the end of this game. Roman, did you see this moment? Did you think it was fair?
Well, I actually didn't get to see it. I saw that it was about protesting and Ramos, of course, being a bit too intense, we could say, at times. But I mean, it's also in the moment.
Never.
It was also at a moment in the game, you know, where it's... where, you know, I guess it's desperation a bit, you know, 88th minute, not much left. They see that they're going to lose another 3 points, and sometimes players just lose it a bit, you know, and it happened, things that happen, you know, and it's unfortunate because now they're going to miss two important players for the next game. But clearly something's not working at Sevilla. The new manager hasn't really provided what the club hoped he would provide in terms of improving the team's performances. I keep thinking that getting rid of Mendilibar was the wrong decision, and apparently they're wanting to prove me right for some reason. And I mean, he did so well at the end of last season. He managed to get them to that trophy. I think it was a matter of time that Mendilibar at least got them to the right track to get good results, but they decided to move on, and now it seems like they're going to probably end up moving on soon if Diego Alonso doesn't get a result ASAP.
Yeah, that Mendilibar era feels like a kind of dream, doesn't it? Because we're almost back where we were with Sampaoli and with Lopetegui.
Precisely.
In just this kind of endless cycle of Sevilla being in trouble. And yeah, their form is really not good. Only, what, 2 or 3 wins all season in all competitions? It's really not good enough for a club like Sevilla, but we shall see. Again, they've got a big game in Europe coming up, and then tough games in La Liga, as we mentioned, Villarreal next weekend. Really tough times. We shall see. Speaking of managers under pressure, we spoke about Paco López in the preview pod, and his Granada side lost 3-1 to Alaves, really damaging the feat against a fellow promoted side. And to add kind of, you know, salt in the wounds, it was Samu Omorodion who scored the third and decisive goal for Alaves. Of course, the former Granada player, having left to Atleti to then be loaned out to Alaves. Granada fans very unhappy with the way their board handled that process. And of course, his goal effectively ended Paco López's time on the bench, because they did confirm he was sacked on Sunday morning. And reports are that Alexander Medina is in line to take over at Los Cármenes. He's another Uruguayan coach. He played for Cadiz and Racing Ferrol in the 2000s, but he's never coached outside South America. So Granada kind of doing a Sevilla and opting for a relatively unknown South American to try and save them, which seems a little bit optimistic to my mind. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if it was with you. I spoke this some time ago saying that I'm never really convinced with these kind of signings in terms of managers bringing someone from afar who has no experience here or very little experience here in Europe and hasn't really proved much, and it's not coming here and trying to start the season, you know, and build a team. It's coming with something that's already in the works, and that you have to kind of change the dynamic completely, and you're not really sure what you're going to find. So for me, it's too risky. You know, I always prefer bringing an experienced manager like Mendilibar, for example, as we were saying just a moment ago, who knows what this is all about and who has, I think, the tools to get the team, at least save the team, you know, that kind of thing. And we're also talking about, as you said, Paco López, and I am a bit surprised that they waited to right after the international break to do this.
Yeah, you know, the timing is so strange.
It's so strange, and I understand that losing 3-1 against Alaves, the last goal being a penalty right at the end, it's almost like a 3-0. It is a very, very bad result, and maybe they'd expected him to at least do something there, and that was, you know, definitely it helped them make up their mind at the end. But why not do it before, give the new manager some more time to work with his players, or give Paco López another game? I don't know, it just doesn't really fit in my opinion. I think they haven't done things right, and Granada's another example of why they tend to struggle, you know, because up top someone isn't handling things as they should in terms of the club management.
Yeah, indeed. It all screams of kind of muddled thinking, because reportedly as well that the first choice replacement in the end isn't going to arrive due to kind of financial discrepancies and disagreements on contracts. So that's already a public fail, if you like. And mm-hmm. and our old friend Heath Chesters was saying that, yeah, Paco did the best he could with the squad he had available, and any new manager will have exactly the same kind of constraints as he did. Of course, Granada won Segunda last season, but looked like they're going to head straight back down there, unfortunately, for Granada. Getafe, they had a come-from-behind win against Almeria. Borja Mayoral scored the winner after a Mason Greenwood equaliser. On a day for elimination of violence against women, it was ironic that Greenwood did score, but Getafe haven't lost at home since Bordalas returned. We mentioned that in the preview, and that stayed the same way. They're up to eighth now, looking very solid, back to kind of the previous era of Bordalas ball at Getafe. And yeah, Almeria still winless, still looking pretty. I mean, they're not conceding quite so many goals as they were before, but they just can't find the result anywhere, and they look in more danger by the week. Roman, any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, well, I think it was a must-win for Getafe, because as we've been saying, Almeria have looked really poor all season. I mean, they have had moments of decent moments, but still, it just feels like they're not going to get anywhere, and a team like Getafe is very difficult to break down, you know, to beat, especially, as you said, playing at home with Bordalas being the manager. It would have taken a miracle, I think, for them to win, even though, of course, they did get that goal, they did have their chance. But in the end, it wasn't to be. And I said it the other day in the pod, for me, Almeria are already a team of Segunda División, in the second division. So honestly, I don't even think a miracle can save them, even though they are not too far away in terms of points, because as I said, the other teams aren't doing very well either. So in the end, they're just 7 points away, we could say, take into account. They haven't won a single game. I think that's not too bad. But still, I mean, it's going to take a massive, massive thing, or of course for the other teams at the bottom to be very, very bad too, which seemingly isn't a crazy thing to say, but honestly don't see Almeria getting out of there.
No, it's looking harder by the week. The longer this run goes on, the harder it'll be to drag themselves back. One promoted side that is doing pretty well is Las Palmas. They went to Betis just this Sunday evening. Competed really well, but they did fall to a William Jose goal. He scored again. Isco has been magic again. Just a chance creation machine. It's so good to see his renaissance at Betis. Yeah, they held on because Las Palmas piled on the pressure late on, but ultimately couldn't really force through many major chances. Betis are now 13 unbeaten in all competitions, which equals their best record under Manuel Pellegrini. and they have a 5-point cushion over 8th place, so nicely secured in the European spots. They have Sparta Prague next, in which a draw will be enough to secure them qualification in Europa League. So going pretty well for Betis, and Las Palmas just a little bit unlucky on the night not to be able to have the finishing touch.
Yeah, I think they were a bit unlucky, and I think it's a bit the problem they've been having all season long, where it's an attack, you know, that they're missing a touch or they're missing something else to get them those important goals. And I mean, they have improved definitely since the beginning, where they were playing well but they weren't really managing to get those wins. Now they're a bit better in that aspect, in that offensive aspect, and they did generate a lot of danger, it has to be said. I mean, Bietes did make some very good saves at the end, especially a great save at the end from Saul Coco shot that was, you know, just flying into the top corner, but he made a great move there to stop the ball. And of course, Las Palmas were very good. You know, the passing, the creativity, going forward, always finding spaces. And it was a very exciting game because of that, because Palmas were pushing forward. Betis were counter-attacking that second half, and there was a lot of opportunities on both ends. But it did feel like Las Palmas could find a goal sooner than later. In the end, it wasn't to be, as you said. But definitely, Pimienta's doing, for me, a very good job there. And if they can maybe find a signing there or two to help in the attacking positions in the winter transfer market, I think they could have a team definitely to be top half of the table.
Mm. Yeah, looking good for them. And credit to Betis for this unbeaten run, and long may that continue for them. Final game of the weekend we haven't mentioned is Valencia 0, Celta 0. Benitez derby, as we called it before the game. Not a massive amount occurred in this game, really, which is kind of why it's last on match of the day kind of thing. But Benitez got a lovely ovation from Mestalla, which is always nice to see. And of course, Ruben Baraja was a player that he had in his team during those successful seasons back in the early 2000s. So a decent point for both sides, I suppose. Celta with a clean sheet, which will be cherished, I'm sure, by Rafa. But yeah, anything more on that game, Roman, or just happy to move on?
Yeah, I mean, there was only one shot on target in the whole game between both teams, so that kind of to show how it wasn't one of the best performances. But I do think that Celta need a bit more. They need those wins. Benitez especially needs those wins. We'll see if they come soon, because if not, we might see another Paco López situation, because I don't think they're going to drag with this too much longer, you know. I mean, a draw maybe can work this time, but I don't think many more will be enough.
Interesting. Right, well, Girona take on Athletic in the Monday night game. It's, as we say, it's a big test for both sides, really. It would be interesting to see that how that game goes. The Mallorca-Cadiz game, which was postponed from before, will be played on Wednesday, as well as a full European Champions League and Europa League round, particularly for Barca. Taking on Porto at home, massive for them. Sevilla as well, hosting PSV. Feels like a pretty important game to decide whether they will play European football at all after Christmas. Real Sociedad already through, Real Madrid too. And as we mentioned, Betis need just a point to secure their place. But we're going to finish this pod today by looking back on Terry Venables, who sadly passed away at the age of 80 after an illness. He means a lot to fans here in England. He was nicknamed El Tel from his time in Spain. He came to Barcelona from QPR in 1984, had to sell Diego Maradona that same summer. His first game was away at the Santiago Bernabeu, which he then won 3-0. And Barca ran away with the league. They were leading from match day one all the way through, which ended an 11-year title drought for Barca. So he was much revered after that opening season. He signed Gary Lineker, signed Mark Hughes, among others, and also won the Copa de la Liga in 1986, beating Betis in the final. But I suppose the bittersweet moment is that European Cup final against Steaua Bucharest, whereby they came from behind in the semi-final against Gothenburg. That you've probably seen the picture doing the rounds with the ball boy Guardiola looking up in amazement as Barca came from 3-0 down to win on penalties in the semi-final at Camp Nou. But then, unfortunately, in the final in Seville in the Sánchez Pizjuán, they were beaten on penalties by Steaua Bucharest. All four of their penalties were saved. But overall, Terry Venables left a great legacy at Barca and certainly through English football. So from all of us here, we send our condolences to his friends and family. And he's left a big hole in English football and in a corner of Barca too. Roman, I'm not sure if you remember much about that time. I'm sure you're too young. But yeah, I'm sure he'll be fondly remembered in the Catalan press tomorrow.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't really born actually when he was around, but of course, we've heard great things about him. He also, you know, brought those, as I mentioned, British players to La Liga, that British touch to Spain, which we definitely enjoyed, and there's definitely good memories here in the world of Barca, we could say. Everybody praises him highly, and as you said, surely there's going to be some members of the press remembering him and you know, telling their stories regarding such a relevant manager, we could say, for football.
Indeed. RIP El Tel. Well, thank you very much for listening to this pod. We hope you subscribe and upgrade your subscription to get access to all of our content. We've had some fantastic pieces written in the last few days. Roman, you did one on Javier Tebas, who resigned, but that's pretty much only so he can call elections and run again. Is that right?
Yeah, precisely. He resigned, and I think it wasn't talked about too much, but I also explained a bit how the elections kind of work briefly in the article for those who are interested.
Interesting. And you have to subscribe and upgrade in order to read that and to hear our midweek pod, in which Paco and Rory will talk all about the Champions League midweek. So from all of us here, thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon. Adios.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.